Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to a very cool girl, air-dried, tousled, kind of just like disheveled episode of Fat Mascara.
I'm Jen Goldstein.
I'm Jessica Matlin.
It's time for Fat Mascara!
Yes, we've got a very cool episode today. Michael Gordon, the founder of Hair Story, the coolest hairline, hair care, and also a very chill hair studio, I would say, like a hair factory.
He's the one putting us in this like laid back mood, I think.
Yeah, like I never want to own a brush again. Like he's changed my hair frame of mind. He's also he founded Bumble and Bumble, so he's kind of a hair legend, a hair hero, if you will.
Sure. We're going to be talking about products that Jess loves. Then a new plastic surgery report came out, and we're going to get into some of the trends and details in that. And then we also have just a little bit to make us feel better about what we talk about every day. Why beauty isn't really skin deep. It's deeper than that.
Sounds heavy. Let's do it.
Jess, remember that time that I said to you that you looked really bedroom-eyed and heavy-lidded?
Yeah, that was right after my eye surgery. Thanks. I didn't feel self-conscious or anything.
I know. I always feel bad about that. But today, you look the complete opposite. Your eyes are like really bright and wide, and I kind of want to know what's happening over
Boing.
There.
Boing. Well, if you must know, I'm taking up my little makeup bag here.
Which looks like a kitty cat, of course.
It's actually from Korea. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend brought this back
to me. Wait, do you have
Korea.
A new product to tell everybody about?
It's a new product, but it's an old product. It's an oldie but a goodie, and it's cheap as hell. L'Oreal Voluminous.
That is why your eyes look mm-hmm. so good?
With the curved brush, everyone.
How did you rediscover this product?
So I interviewed the Kardashians makeup artist for 10 years, Joyce Benelli, for okay. Cosmo. Now, I didn't know that I was going to love her as much as I did. She gave me so many amazing tips. Like, she gave me this huge list of products that I needed to buy.
Spill.
Or, like, you know, I mean, there aren't enough hours in the day, and, like, she's in the May Cosmo, pick it up. But there, like, she gives a lot of her tips and product picks. But one of them is that we didn't run is the L'Oreal Voluminous, because she said it's just so inky black. They do have a carbon one. I didn't get that one. But it's very wet. Like, it doesn't
just
get all dry and disgusting.
Keep blinking as you talk to me. It's very...
It's... Like, it really gives you this wide-eyed look that doesn't get all crusty and disgusting.
I think that's what it is. It's one of those, it looks like a mascara that isn't, like, clumpy and volumizing. It's more, like, lengthening and eye-popping. But there's something on your lids, too.
Okay. So, moving along. Remember our guest, Daniel Martin, who was sitting across from us just a couple of weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah, Daniel. So Daniel was like, I was telling him how I wanted a makeover. I was just tired of my look. Like, I really want a glam squad like him and like all those peeps. Mm-hmm. But I can't really afford one right now.
Okay.
So he told me what I should be doing is just like popping my lids. Now, I know that sounds painful.
It sounds nasty.
It sounds nasty. But he said just like a hit of like shimmery color on your lid can do more.
But it's not across your whole lid.
Well, I just put it on the center of my lid.
Is that what
that's popping what pop in your lid means?
Okay, so a pop in your lid is shimmery shadow just above like the iris.
Above
area,
the iris, correct.
Like. Keep blinking, and I'll get more info on that.
So yeah. He recommended this amazing. Now everyone's coloring is different, but he recommended this Dior Show Fusion Mono in Meteor.
Wait, and he said that right after our interview, and you already have it?
Oh yeah, I work quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's this beautiful cream shadow, almost like a mousse texture, and it's a rose gold.
And that's what's on your
lid. And
lids
I just
right
put
now.
It on my lid, no liner. I save 7 minutes every morning, which, let's face it, my liner never looked that good anyway.
No,
and like,
I liked
it didn't. I need to get better. I need to like follow some YouTube tutorials.
Okay, so
tutorials.
Now instead, you're popping the lid and lengthening the lashes.
Lengthening the lashes, no liner, saving time, sleeping in, everything's good.
Why didn't I ask for tips? I gotta do that more.
Well, one of them is from Joyce, one of them is from Daniel. Anything else we need to discuss? Because I
don't know. Your arches look good, and your hair is kind of like it's cool girl disheveled.
Could it be because I've been using the Beach Waver?
Wait, you've been taking all the advice that's thus far been on the podcast and putting it to work.
Why do you think we're doing this show? So I can get tips.
That's the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
So you beach waved too, huh?
I've been beach waving.
That's good.
And I'm really bad with hot tools, which Jen knows, which she remembers from when we did the shoot. If you look at our promo photo, somebody's hair looks like a soccer mom. I use
your
the beach
skills
waver.
Are coming into their own.
It's so easy, like a child could use the beach waver.
You heard it here first. Jess, you know I love me some data.
You're like such a data nerd. I love it.
I'm just such a nerd, period.
No.
But every time there's like a new yearly study of the state of whatever, I get all into it looking for the trends. So I just got the report from, I'm calling it ASAPS.
Oh, ASAPS, that sounds good.
No, it's actually, you've got it too. The American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery.
I've always called them ASAPS, but keep going.
ASAPS.
Yeah. ASAPS.
I want to look slimmer. ASAPS. So it's basically a trade organization for plastic surgeons, and they do all, you know, they do surveys of all the doctors mm-hmm. to find out what procedures are trending. I'm sure that's not the word that the plastic surgeons use, but what's hot that year. So they just came out with the numbers right. for 2015. And I was really interested to see what is going on. Did you take a look?
I took a quick gander.
Did anything stick out to you as like, this is surprising and yet interesting as well?
Well, there was something that was not surprising, but like not any less depressing, which is just how popular like injectables are. Like they're just basically normal. It's like getting a haircut.
We're talking
now.
Neurotoxins like Botox and Dysport, but also hyaluronic acid fillers like Voluma and Restylane and all those.
Exactly. Like, you know,
basically everything that's in my face right now.
Right.
Oh, I said it, not you. No, I just think it's so normal. The fact that I just said that like that, it's just become the new norm that these are available to everybody. Non-surgical cosmetic procedures have increased 44% in a year. That's crazy.
It's like it's setting up this bell curve where if you're not getting it, it's almost like you look worse in comparison.
You're like an outlier.
Exactly.
I was really interested to look at the body stuff.
Okay.
And apparently buttock lifts are up 32%, which I get, but because I feel like the butt was big in 2014 in New York City.
But it was about being big, right?
Yeah, but it had a moment where it was lifted and big.
Yeah.
But you forget that the coasts travel inward and now, like, just curviness in general and lifted butt is just so much more desirable to a lot of women and men, let's be honest, that it's just become a really popular cosmetic procedure. You know what else is up a lot?
What?
This is something I'm never going to need. My mom would say different. Tattoo
what?
Removal.
Why do you think that is? I did see that.
Really? Why do you think
well,
that
no,
is?
No.
Listen, I have friends with, like, the Fighting Irish on their calf, the Celtic knot on their lower back. I have a friend with a yin-yang in orange. Yin-yang?
Yin-yang, yeah, yin-yang.
In orange and green, center of the back. Like,
sure.
I don't like to call it the tramp stamp, that is the trans.
Yeah, I definitely see some regrettable tattoos, but I feel like they're so normal now. Like almost all of my girlfriends have a tattoo.
Right, but and that speaks to these numbers because everybody has a tattoo, and you got to think a certain percentage of those people are going to want to get rid of them.
You're totally right. You're totally
is there
right.
anything else? I just thought it was really interesting. Anything else you saw that stood out to you?
Okay, well, I mean, basically, I just read this and I was like, okay, nobody's happy with the way they look.
Oh,
no. No, seriously, like, the stats are through the roof. This one.
Or you can think of it this way. Everybody is empowered and wants to look even better.
Oh, boy.
Oh, all right.
No.
Tell me one more stat.
Okay, this one really, really bummed me out. And, like, I'm taking one for the guys here. It said the number of cosmetic procedures performed among men has increased. Now, just wait till I finish the sentence. Over 325% from 1997 when the survey was initiated. And there are so many stats within this. I'm not going to go through all of them. But basically, men are getting a lot of surgery.
Welcome to our world. See what it's like to have to look, be judged by how you look all the time.
I don't know. I don't think it's a good sign. I think it's almost like a sign that things are getting worse for everyone when even the dudes are like, if they're feeling more pressure, then we're feeling more pressure.
Damn sure they should. I think that's the takeaway.
I don't want to get payback on dudes, man. I just think it's sad that everyone feels crappy about themselves.
I think that's the takeaway, though. Plastic surgery has become more available to more people than it was before, and that's what this speaks to. It's not just for the elite or for the rich or for women of a certain age. And maybe that's a bad thing, maybe it's a good thing, but it's kind of here to stay.
Jen, last week I went to this event and I was really just sort of moved by it. It was a dinner with Charlotte Tilbury. She has a new lipstick line. And, you know, it benefits charity. The woman from the charity, it's called Women for Women International, was there. And she was saying that in these war-torn places that she goes, she's been, the women, in addition to financial support and training and all of these, like, very critical things they need, they tell them that they want lipstick.
Women in war-torn situations.
Women in war-torn situations are asking for, like, hand on heart, they're asking for lipstick.
Wait, I didn't tell you this. That's so funny that you just learned that. So that's because Charlotte has lipsticks coming out to support that
yes,
charity?
Yes, it's for $2 out of every single lipstick that you buy from this this new lipstick line. It goes to this charity, Women for Women International.
I kid you not. Just last week, I heard a story from my friend who's a makeup artist in Los Angeles, and she's been hosting these Boxcar Muse pop-up events where women get together and tell stories and share things about their life. Her name's Emily. And she told me about one woman who shared the story of a woman who had been through the Bosnian War in Sarajevo, and she had a permanent hunch in her back because she had been in a cellar that was like a 4-foot-high, you know, ceiling. So she could never stand up straight for something like 4 years because they were hiding from all the bombs. And they asked the woman, and her psychologist, I think it was, asked her afterwards, and she's in, you know, she's in therapy with the woman, like, how did you get through? What are some of your coping mechanisms? This woman who's been through the Bosnian War said, I just put on lipstick every day. Like, that's so crazy to me.
You know, when I was...
You don't look surprised at all.
No, because it's like, I mean, yes, that story is absolutely... I'm surprised with the story. It's moving. It's shocking. But I think lipstick makes people, and not just lipstick, I think it's a very easy cosmetic to pick, but makeup and beauty rituals, they make women feel like back to themselves. Yeah. And when I was sitting at that Charlotte dinner, I was just like kind of nodding like, yeah, like, you know,
yeah.
Because it felt, I think sort of, I felt sort of absolved of maybe working in the industry and even like, you know, we sit here for an hour plus every week and talk about lipstick and makeup. But I do think it's important and it's been important to me my entire life. I mean, I have found it like, you know, I thank God, not, you know, I've never been in any kind of situation that's even close to what these women are talking about. But for me, it's been an outlet, a way of expression. It's been, you know, it's something that feels a part of me. And I think if I ever were in a bad situation, I would feel like that is a part of me.
It reminds you that you're human. Sometimes I think about it when I feel bad that I'm like fact checking a price on like some crazy expensive skincare product. And then I'm like, you know what? There are women who are getting good things out of this. I remember my grandmother was in the hospital. We still were painting her nails even when she was really sick. My mom used to paint her nails. because it just made her feel like a real person, and just that touch, and also just feeling like a woman.
Yeah. So, it restores like their dignity in some way.
So sometimes late at night when I'm like, what are you doing with your life? Your friends are all doctors and lawyers.
Yeah, or not even a doctor. Yeah, doctors and lawyers, but like, yeah, like if you want like a teacher, or you know, giving your life to some kind of service. I think everyone in beauty, I would like to think, has had that kind of crisis of, you know,
are we just skin deep?
Exactly. Are we doing, you know, is this what I chose to devote my life to? And hearing that really, I don't know, it made me feel good. I really understood it. There's always that like quote that I see on Pinterest, and I think it's like so just kind of like, like cliche, but like Elizabeth Taylor, she's like, make yourself a drink, put on some lipstick, and like throw yourself together or whatever, like pull yourself together. But I think the sentiment is kind of there. It's like makeup does give you some kind of security, some kind of armor, and it was cool. I thought it was a nice moment, and I think any woman will understand it. When I first met you, I was a very young beauty editor.
12,
exactly. 12 and a half. And you just opened up this mega salon, mm-hmm. Bumble and Bumble, down in the Meatpacking District. You just opened. You were sitting at the little cafe table. I remember you offered me something to eat. There was a little cafe. And at the time, Bumble was like the epitome of all that was buzzy and cool. And I told all my friends about it. Got my hair cut there for years. The next time we connected was about 10 years later. And it was at Hair Story, the company in the salon you founded. It was buzzy and cool, and I've been going there for about 3 years. And it's so funny because it's like the same thing. It's a place I've been going to, and it, like Bumble in the beginning, it's like it feels like this hub of something special, like a real community. Somebody described it once, another writer, was like the factory of hair, like the Andy Warhol factory of hair. So there's a lot of parallels. This feels like a lot of ground to cover, and there's a huge space in between. So let's just start from the beginning. How did you get started in hair? Like, what made you want to do this?
Well, when I was 7 years old, my mother became a hairdresser and opened she bought a salon near mm-hmm. where we lived.
Was she a hairdresser?
Yeah, she became okay. a hairdresser. It was quite strange and uncharacteristically brave for her, but it's something she'd always wanted to do. So it was my stopping off place on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got used to it. And then when I was about 10, I started sort of hanging out and working there on Saturday mornings. I mean, when you're a kid, especially 100 years ago, it's hard to know, you're not really exposed to business. Like, my father mm-hmm. was in some gloomy place. I didn't really understand what he did. I wasn't particularly interested.
Right.
So I could understand this because our lifestyle improved. We didn't have vacations on windy, cold, gray English beaches. We went to Italy. It was a big change. So I didn't really like the hairdressing. I thought, oh, I can understand this. Women come in, you make a fuss of them, they give you tips. It's kind
of
cool.
So you like the business of hairdressing.
Well, I didn't like school, so it was a distraction. Yeah.
Right.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So did you train, like, I know your mom owned the salon, but then did you train, like, in a school or you self-taught?
No. In those days, you became an apprentice. If you were going to learn a trade, essentially hairdressing was considered a trade. So I interviewed at two places. One was in a very modern place that they trained at Vidal Sassoon, which was the cool salon in the world. The coolest. And then the other place was a very prestigious, sort of like Downton Abbey style salon. It had chandeliers everywhere and everyone had a title, as in the women who came there. There were ladies,
oh, wow.
Countesses, duchesses, princesses, you name it. It was unusual if you were just a regular woman. Actually, regular people didn't go
there.
They couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So strangely, I chose to work there. Strangely, because it would be like going to typing school today.
How did you come over to New York then?
Well, I stopped off in South Africa for 5 years.
That's more than a stop off.
Yeah,
that was 5 years. Well, it was almost like a practice run for coming to New York. It wasn't planned either. It was accidental. But so I was 21 years old. I'd worked in the best places in London. I didn't know what to do because there was nowhere else to work. I decided I'd go and join my brother in South Africa.
What was he doing there?
He was a hairdresser.
Okay.
And we didn't actually get on very well, so we decided he lured me to go there to open a salon with him. That's how it became Bumble and Bumble.
Oh.
And then after...
You're Bumble 1 and he's Bumble 2?
Well, it was the other way around.
Oh.
It only lasted 6 weeks.
Was it called Bumble and Bumble, the one in South Africa?
Yeah, it was the original Bumble and Bumble was in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Wow.
So that lasted 6 weeks. We never got on very well.
Okay.
He got pissed off and got in his car and drove 1,000 miles to the end of South Africa, which was Cape Town. And I have this place, this little salon. It's 400 square feet. And newspaper discovered me. They did a story on me and then another newspaper. And we just got busy. Like, there's not much happening in South Africa.
No,
so if you come from London and you've trained in the best salons, you're kind of interesting.
So then how did you get to New York?
I was approached by a German person who'd been very successful in having a chain of salons. And he had this scheme that he would take me and he'd take another person who was a good hairdresser, Antonio, and we'd sort of conquer the world. It sounds insane, right? We'd have all these salons in South Africa, and then I'd come to New York, and the other one would go to Europe. So that was the plan. Sort of, I thought, oh, okay, that sounds cool. So I came to New York, looked around, and found an existing, run-down, extremely old-fashioned salon on 57th Street.
That was the original Bumble and Bumble?
Original. Be about 2 blocks from the Hearst building. I'm 27, I think, or 26, I don't remember. In New York, I have a wife and a child, and this dump on 57th Street. And I have not one client in the entire world. I actually don't know anyone.
So how did you build Bumble to what, when I was a beauty editor starting out, you know, I mean, I knew Bumble as a kid, like, or a teenager, like, when I was invited cool to Bumble, I was like, oh my God, I'm being invited to Bumble? You know, like, how did you build it to the brand that you wanted it to be?
So when I took over this place, because actually what I bought was this salon that was run down, had about 4 or 5 employees, and the owner who I just bought this business from told them to come to the back room, and he introduced me. He said, oh, I've just sold the salon. It was like selling slaves.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what an awkward feeling.
Yeah, they just looked at me like, oh. And so I never really, I didn't know what to say. So I just said, hi, I'm going to make this the best, most famous salon in America. They just looked at me like, oh, fuck.
Okay, so you had a little confidence.
I guess. Even if it was I don't know where I got that from. Because it just came out. So I actually had about half a dozen photographs from South Africa that I'd done with a photographer. Do you remember old-fashioned press releases? We had a black and white photograph, and on the back you had the information.
Okay.
Sent those out to 10 publications. Eventually, Women's Wear Daily interviewed me, and then Glamour started using me, and then Mademoiselle.
You need one sometimes.
Well, what I would do is I'd go to them pitching a story, saying, I have this story, idea, these are the Polaroids or these are the sketches or something, and they'd take it to their monthly meeting with the editor-in-chief. And so it worked.
You have a reputation as not just a hairstylist and an owner of a salon, but someone who comes up with cool products that are new, that actually are something I haven't seen before.
Okay, so
how'd that happen?
Once it started becoming successful, I was approached by a few different companies to consult for them. So eventually, after about the third, fourth go-around of consulting for different companies, I realized they had no idea how to make product. No idea. Ridiculous. They make these products, and then at the very end, they give them to a few hairdressers who are not the wrong hairdressers to test anyway. They sort of do half head tests, and that's how they market products. That's how they create them. So, and then at that point, we had some editorial hairdressers, like Orlando Peter and other people who were very talented, and I realized that they wouldn't use any of the normal products that anybody was making. So that was my goal was, I want Orlando and the other guys to use this stuff. Because if they're using it, it means it's really good.
So you wanted to create like real editorial hair products?
Yeah. That I thought would be, would translate to the bigger world. And so we started off with about 6 products.
Okay, so eventually you got so successful, so many people curious about your products, your salon. You had some very big interest from a big brand, and you chose to sell it, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and then moved on to do your own thing. Tell us about Hair Story.
Tell us about that time in creating Hair Story.
Well, I had a 3 or 4 year non-compete sabbatical, so that gave me a lot of time to lose a lot of money. Various things that I thought were interesting.
What did you do on your sabbatical, can I ask?
Well, I built this extraordinarily fabulous, very green, sustainable, modern house. What else? I made a film, a documentary on Fidel Sassoon.
Yes.
Which was very successful, but not at making money. If you don't know what you're doing in the film business, you lose money. So it was a critical success. It was very important for the self-esteem of possibly millions of hairdressers. It made even teenagers and kids go, wow, this is an incredible story. It was very inspiring. So that gave me a lot of satisfaction. And then I started thinking about all the stupid, silly, shitty stuff that cosmetic world puts out.
What did you want to change, or what did you want to sort of rectify or diverge from in the beauty industry?
Well, there were two things. First of all, somehow I figured out, I'd always thought about the problem with shampoo. You wash your hair with shampoo and your hair's immediately not cool, puffy, difficult to control, and you want it to get to the next day or the next day when you have to start washing it again. So eventually tried to successfully reinvent a way to clean your hair, which was...
For day after hair.
Well, yeah, so your hair looked great straight up immediately. Yeah.
But you wanted to make, so a cleanser for hair, not a shampoo, so that you're getting out the grease and the dirt, but you're still leaving in all the good oils and stuff that make it look cool.
Exactly, yeah.
And did you make it?
Did.
But did you, like, always feel this way, or is this something you learned? Because surely, like, before you used shampoo and conditioner, like a revelation that you had at some point that you're like, you know what, there's a better way.
No, I didn't know there was a better way, but it was clear that we all used to talk about the fact that shampoo cleaned hair too much.
Got it.
So how do you replace shampoo? I mean, I attempted it a few times, but the formulation didn't work.
You know, it's such a big trend right now. I shouldn't say trend, but, like, people are more open now to, like, the no shampoo idea. Why do you think that is?
Because they all hate the way the hair looks after shampoo. Strips the color out, makes it poofy, makes it uncontrollable, means you have to use a lot of product.
Mm-hmm.
Basically stupid.
But what you're saying is you want to try and break away from that mold and just give your clients exactly what they need.
Yeah.
So are there any other products than just the, what is it called?
New Wash.
Yeah.
There's three.
I love Dressed Up.
So the products are part of Hair Story, but it's also...
It's very simple. It simplifies everything.
Yes.
It's really easy.
Yes.
Use New Wash. If you want anything else, you'd use, in your case, Balm, which is for pretty much any hair, but it's for air drying.
Okay.
It's when you don't want to blow dry your hair. You could, but you don't have to. Dressed Up is a more conventional in terms of, you know, you might use a brush.
Your conventional dress.
And Undressed is, air dried and sexy.
And
incredible texture and completely invisible. So
yeah.
It's a pretty extraordinary
tackiness.
Product. Yeah.
I have to say, what's special about Hair Story is, I mean, there's many, many special things. There's a lot of young talent at Hair Story. I've been to the space. There's a lot of incredible hairstylists and colorists have come up in your salons. So what are you doing, like, what is happening at your salon? What are you doing differently that other bosses are, you know, I don't, boss is a weird word for you. Other, like, mentor types aren't doing. Like, you have a very different salon sort of strategy or manager type of position.
I'm very good at motivating people, inspiring people, and coaching people, and managing people. And these people are not. They're very talented people who end up having a salon that where they're not doing any of that. So it wasn't like there's lots of people mentoring people. There's very few people.
It doesn't seem like a community. I feel like there's not the same sense of community from other salons that I see with Hair Story.
Other salons are not, it's not working so well anymore. I mean, somewhere like 50% of them have now become indie. They work for themselves. They rent a chair.
You're talking about a salon where all of the hairstylists are independent contractors. All they're doing is basically, they have nothing to do with the philosophy of that space.
Right.
They pay rent on their chair. They're their own worker.
It's a big
thing. I don't
think
a lot of people realize that's how it works most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the owners of the what were good salons.
They're basically a landlord.
Just giving up. Yes.
Yeah.
They're becoming landlords. It's kind of more profitable.
Yeah, people don't know
that. It's a big shift.
So that's been going on very recently.
Yeah.
Is your Hair Story, are there independent contractors there?
Yeah, they don't work for us. Basically.
But they use it
we
almost
house
like
them
a... So it's like
they,
a collective in a way.
Yeah, we exchange.
Which is like you said, like Andy Warhol in the factory. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that vibe.
It's very much like that.
That's cool.
And we do photo shoots. We create all our own content. We make films. So it gives us an opportunity to broadcast our style.
Mm-hmm.
And It seems to be working.
What I love about you is that you've always stayed very true to yourself and your vision, and you've actually inspired me to help get all this fat mascara, this podcast, off the ground, you and Wes. So any tips for people trying to find their creative voice just as an artist?
Often successful people aren't terribly creative, not necessarily talented, they're just determined. And creative people are sometimes overwhelmed, they overwhelm themselves. And so I think that being talented gives you an obligation to maybe go for it and be more focused on it and spend more time on it. You know, I feel like my discipline, which is irritating to many people, usually women, is what I have to do to be successful. I have to be disciplined in order to have the energy to help myself and help everyone else around me. You know, as you said, I'm surrounded by young people, but young people don't realize that life isn't so terrible yet. So, you've got to encourage them. I guess it's just not so accessible to people. But you have to put everything you've got into it to be successful, or at least to feel like you tried. Like, I had no idea. People used to say to me, "Gee, how's it feel to be successful?" I'd look at them like, I don't know what they were talking about. Like, me? Whew, not even halfway there. At a certain point, I absolutely was convinced, without question, I would never be successful. Not in the terms of the way I thought success was. Interestingly enough, it's a little philosophical, but I think the realization and the transference in your head of giving up the attachment to being successful helped me become successful. No, that was a mouthful.
That makes sense,
but,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's helpful.
So don't focus on the crazy end goal. Just do the damn thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, just get to the work of doing it.
Thank you for coming and convincing Jess to continue on her hair journey. And for telling us about yours. That was really enlightening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.